Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
A pastor friend of mine once said, "Preachers need to talk about love, not sin." That can be a misconception, especially if you don't completely understand those two words. Are preaching about love and preaching about sin mutually exclusive? Well, since you asked. Unger's Bible Dictionary says love is the highest motive or grounds for moral action. It goes on to say, as all sin roots itself in selfishness, so all virtue springs out of love. Vine's Expository Dictionary says, love can only be known from the actions it prompts. Love seeks the welfare of all. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite writers, summed it up nicely when he said, love is unselfishly choosing for another's highest good. Sin, on the other hand, is always selfish. There are 9 expressions of the word sin in the Old Testament and 7 in the New Testament. Every one of them is active, every one of them is volitional, and every one of them is selfish. Love and sin are polar opposites. Sin is acting without love, and love is acting without sin. If you include one, you imply the absence of the other. In Matthew 22, someone asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Jesus wasn't asked for the second one, but he was compelled to share it. You can't have one without the other. How we love others reveals how much we love God. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Sorry, he didn't say they will know by the fish on your bumper. 1 John 4:20 says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. And the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Love is all important. The whole law and prophets depend on it. The fact is, love not only fulfills the law, it supersedes the law. It is possible to keep the written law without having love. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." More than once, the self-congratulatory religious elite became indignant when Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath. He called them hypocrites for keeping the law and losing compassion. When Paul was giving his resume, he said, "As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless." Now, let me get this right. Paul was blameless according to the law, and at the same time he was persecuting the church? You can keep the law and not have love. Not only that, love precedes the law. Love is mentioned long before religion, long before Moses was ever given the law. Abraham loved Isaac, and Isaac loved Rebekah, and so forth. Without love, religious behavior is worthless. 1 Corinthians 13, often called the love chapter, says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." Love must be the motive for our actions, or they are meaningless. Unfortunately, love is a very misunderstood and misused verb. I can love my car, I can love football, I can love chocolate, I can love a TV character who doesn't even really exist, I can love my girlfriend. Well, you get the picture. The Beatles said, "All you need is love," and then they broke up. John, you keep using that word. I do not think that it means what you think it means. For many, the meaning of the word love has been reduced to emotion or feelings. This cannot be so. Otherwise, how could Jesus say to love your enemies? No one ever feels good about their enemies. Pop culture often confuses love with sex, but it should be quite evident in our time that sex does not require love, nor does love require sex. Love also doesn't mean that you are tolerant of any and all behavior. Parents who love their children don't let them do whatever they want, especially when it can bring harm to themselves or others. It also doesn't mean that you will not offend people. Jesus was completely loving, but sometimes he offended people. Paul said to speak the truth in love, and sometimes the truth hurts. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I used to think that obeying him proved that I loved him. Now I understand that I will obey him because I love him. That's just another way of saying that love fulfills the law. Romans 13 says, "For you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." I always love this passage, as if there was some law that Paul didn't already know. James also sheds some light on the subject. He says, "If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show favoritism, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not commit murder.' Now if you commit adultery but do not commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." I'm often embarrassed by the church when, like Pharisees, we single out certain sins that we are not guilty of, but ignore sins that we have committed. Legalism is always selective. On top of that, Jesus said that to lust after a woman is equal to adultery. What is in the heart is far more important than what others see. And just as we cannot pick and choose which rules we keep or break, we may not pick and choose whom we love. In Luke chapter 10, a lawyer tested Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He must have heard Jesus talking about that. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus then tells the story of the Good Samaritan, about a man who was mugged along the road and left for dead. The religious people ignored him, even crossed the road to avoid getting involved. Then a Samaritan came upon him, treated his wounds, took him somewhere to be cared for, and paid for it all. By the way, Samaritans were despised by Jews. Then Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. You know, I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't really answer the man's question straight up. He just said, go and do the same. Jesus also said, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? First of all, I have always heard people say that only Christians can have agape love. Guess what? Jesus uses the word agape here about tax collectors and Gentiles. Then he goes on to say, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What's that you say? No one is perfect. Hey, I may not always have perfect actions, but I can have love as my motive, and that is how I can be perfect like my heavenly Father. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now he said this right after washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. After the Last Supper, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And the church made communion a sacrament. Then he said, go and baptize them. And baptism became a sacrament. He also said, if I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We routinely have communion service and baptismal service because they're sacraments. But when was the last foot washing service you attended? In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Everything begins with the love of God. The old hymn, The Love of God, contains these words. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stock on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. What is God's love like? Romans 5 says, God shows his love that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 also says we have hope because the love of God is poured out in our hearts. Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Ephesians 2 says his great love made us alive and seated us in heavenly places. 1 John 3 says his love is so great that he calls us his children. 1 John 4 says, his perfect love casts out fear. And Jeremiah 31 says, his love is everlasting. And the greatest commentary comes from the Savior himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16, the favorite verse of many Christians. But do you know what 1 John 3:16 says? We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And in case you need help knowing how to do that, the next two verses say, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now let's read more from 1 Corinthians 13 as it describes love. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not envious. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let's break this down a little bit. Love is patient. That's the word long-suffering. There are two words in the New Testament that translate to the English word patient. This is makrothumia, long-suffering, and that generally refers to in relationships with other people. The other one is hupomone, which has to do with situations. Love is kind. This word kind is gracious. It comes from the word grace. Love is not envious. Do you know how to avoid envy? Be grateful for what you have. Love does not brag. You know, let others compliment you. Don't pat yourself on the back. Love is not arrogant. Stay humble. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. Love does not act unbecomingly. That means it's not rude. I've seen some religious things done that are nothing more than rudeness in the name of religious pride. Love does not seek its own. In other words, it's not looking out for number one. In our culture, selfishness has almost become a virtue. Love is not provoked. That means it's not easily offended. Again, everybody is offended these days. No matter what you say or do, it's going to offend somebody. Love does not get offended. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Don't hold grudges. Give it up. Let it go. Forgive. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. In other words, don't gloat over someone else's downfall. Don't look forward to somebody else's judgment. Love rejoices with the truth. Be happy when what is right comes to light. Love bears all things. It's supportive. Love believes all things. It trusts others. Love hopes all things. It is not cynical. Love endures all things. It demonstrates perseverance. Love never fails. Never, never, never give up. This kind of love we are called to walk in is truly unconditional. It has no strings attached. It is not, I love you if. It is not, I love you when. It is not, I love you because. It is, I love you no matter what. The very way God loves you. He loves you whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are. Even if you don't love yourself, God loves you. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I want to live in such a way that people will know what God's love is like when they look at my life and how I love others. Heavenly Father, help us to love others the way you love us. And please forgive us when we fall short, so that even in our imperfection, they will see your perfect love.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.